Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, well, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's always a beautiful day on this third Friday of the month, and that's because it is time for Friday in the Garden with Mr. Robert Bout in the Therapy Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. Robert, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
Well, we're just marking each day, trying to get through this summer. It's been hot all week, and I'm looking forward to the weekend, I can tell you that.
Goodness gracious. So, an Arnold Palmer and a pool somewhere, right?
Right, yep.
Yeah. So I know you guys have been keeping busy. I know you still have the Enchanted Fairy Door, I think until what, the end of September now?
Yeah, September 30th is the last day, and the afternoons are a little slow because it's so hot, but the parking lot is full in the morning where people are coming out to see the fairy doors, 20 new fairy doors, and
wow.
I think they're trying to beat the heat, but I know... it brings in a lot of different people, a lot of different age groups. These grandparents, they're sometimes watching over the children during the day, and these poor folks are being dragged by their grandchildren in this 95-degree heat. I feel for them, but they're having a good time, and they're getting outside, and that's what matters.
Yeah, because we don't realize how important it is to get out. We just got to make sure that we stay protected. But, we got to get that vitamin D in, for at least a couple of hours a day in order to stay healthy. So.
Yep, and what a great way to spend a little time outside. And people are starting to walk more and more here, as not for recreation, but for the health benefits, and what a great place to walk. I know a lot of people walk in the mall or walk to neighborhoods, but we don't have any dogs here, and it's a lot more comfortable walking through the gardens, listening to the birds and watching critters and watching butterflies, talking to the staff. It sure beats walking in the neighborhood, I can tell you that. And if you're a member of the garden, which you can do, I think the cheapest or the least expensive one is $45. You can come to the gardens every day, and it doesn't cost you anything extra, so that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and we've got, since talking to you, we got the family membership. I think that's $50 for the year. We usually come for the outdoor movie, which I know you got another one coming up in a couple of weeks. But before we get to that, though, I wanted to make sure everybody knew about, and my husband's off, so I might be dragging him out there. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew about the clinics that you have on Wednesdays.
Yeah, in cooperation with Orange County and the Orange County Cooperative Extension Service, we have a plant doctor, and so if you have a question about a bug or an insect or maybe some disease or, gosh, why isn't my plant doing very well, you can bring that plant sample in a Ziploc bag to the garden house or the welcome center. And the Orange County Master Gardeners are there, and they can answer your questions. They do it at Cooperative Extension down on, I think, is it Conroy Road?
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
But every Wednesday afternoon, they're here to answer people's questions. So if you have a rose and it's got black spot or something, just bring it in. They can ID it, and they can give you some recommendations.
Yeah, you can get your soil tested, too, which I'm like I said, I'm seriously thinking, we might come down there and get that taken care of. That's really great, especially for us, because we don't live near, my husband kind of works out there, but in terms of where we live closer to you guys at Lou Gardens than we do with the Extension Center, although the Extension Center gives a lot of good programs, too. So
there is... It is a long way down there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
I think we're probably a little more centrally located. And the airplanes just drive me crazy. We're right underneath the flight path of one of the busiest airports in the country. And it just drives me nuts. So just bring it up to the gardens, and the Cooperative Extension people can answer your questions.
And that's Wednesdays, by the way, from 3 to 5 on Wednesdays, you can go there. And like I said, get a family membership so you can, get down there, save you some money, and have a good time.
Yeah, so, the plant doctor is free, but gosh, while you're there, you might as well just use your membership card and walk through the gardens, or get a membership or buy a ticket. It's only $10, for gosh sakes. You can't buy a hot dog at the theme park for that. And, spend some time out there in the gardens and maybe get some ideas of things that you can do at home in your garden.
Yeah, I've gotten some ideas from out there as well. So we're trying to slowly but surely win and get our yard back in shape. Speaking of which, composting. Now, you talked about composting on air, but one of the things that I found out that Orange County, I think, gives out, you have to, I guess, bring your truck and a pail and a shovel, and you could get free composting on certain days from Orange County at certain places. I think one location is on McLeod Road. But what I wanted to ask you about is you don't necessarily want to just go and run and get free compost. Because someone says it's free. What should you be looking for in terms of the makeup of good compost?
Well, any compost is going to give your soil, when you incorporate the compost into native soil, what you're trying to do is to increase the water holding capacity of your soil. If your soil is like nearly everyone else's in Central Florida, if you were to look at your soil under a microscope, what you'd see are little rocks, sand. There is nothing to keep the water held in place long enough for the roots of your plants to absorb it. The water just rushes right on through. And, the plants can only absorb so much in a limited period of time. So the idea is to increase, one, the water holding capacities, and that includes water and nutrients. So it keeps this water in the root zone just a little bit longer, so those plants have the ability to suck up that water. And two, good compost also has little tiny microorganisms in there. And it's those little organisms working together to help break down the soil further and makes it more enjoyable, if you will, for the plants to absorb those nutrients. So there's lots of microbial activity going on in good compost that you and I can't see with our bare eyes, but the simple fact is we know it's there. It allows enzymes in the plants to work properly, and it allows for more and more water to be held. So, you know, it needs to add the organic matter, and the compost also needs to be such that it allows excess water to drain through. I've seen compost that's been made in the past, and it holds on to the water, but it holds it on for too long, and then the plants start to root. So any good organic matter that's well-drained is really, really good. Right now we're running some experiments here at the gardens utilizing soil from the Orlando wetlands out there in Christmas, Florida. A lot of people don't know this, but all of the sewage in Orlando and outlying areas is treated by the folks in wastewater for the city.
Right.
And it's treated and the solids are taken out. But it's just not quite finished yet. So what they do is they pipe all of this treated water out to Christmas, Florida, where they have several thousand acres, where they allow the water to flow and allow the sediment to fall out. And then that's the last stage of the water treatment. And from that point, it flows into the St. John's River. It's a wonderful, wonderful, environmentally safe and appropriate way to handle human waste. And by the time it gets to Christmas, Florida, in those big pipes, it's pretty clean. But they're just taking it one more step, and the solids fall out in these big ponds. Well, over time, after about 15 years, you get sediment that runs probably 5 or 6 inches deep. And you have to go in with machines and take all that soil or all that sediment away. And what do you do with it then? Well, what they do, they simply spread it out over these several thousand acres. And so the thought came to me, why don't we see if we can't use that to add to the organic matter of our gardens, whether it be flower gardens or vegetable gardens? So we got a load of it, and we're actually testing it now at the gardens to see whether or not when we mix that with the existing soil, whether it's potting soil or native soil, mix it and then plant things in it and see how they grow. And I can tell you, we've had it for several months now, and it's working very, very well. We've incorporated about 4 inches of that organic matter into the pre-existing soil and incorporated that with a rototiller and then planted peanuts on it. And I can tell you that they are doing extremely well. So compost right now is very difficult to find. Good compost has to do all of the things I just talked about, but it's very difficult to find. So you might be able to go to some of these bulk mulch yards that you see scattered around the city or throughout Central Florida, and they'll load it up for you. They call it landscape soil, and you can use that in raised beds, or you can put that in, you know, put that on top of your existing soil and incorporate it in. So anything to add to the organic matter and increase the water holding capacity is what you're looking for.
Cool, cool. Good to know. And looking forward to hearing, you know, what else you're doing in terms of experimenting that can kind of give us some insight in terms of making our gardens better and not having to necessarily use a whole lot of extra chemicals and stuff. So thanks a lot.
Yeah. The one thing that concerns us is when people decide they're going to use a raised bed is that, you know, they put all the soil in it and they grow it, and over a period of 4 or 5 years, that soil diminishes. You know, the hot sun oxidizes the soil. Some of the soil comes out when you harvest the plants, and the soil gets thinner and thinner, and it isn't as deep. And over time, and this is happening right now in Orlando in several of the community gardens, they have these really fine wooden boxes. They're 4 feet wide and 10 feet long and 10 inches high, and they filled that with really good soil initially. But as mm-hmm. they grow, the plants, some of that soil is diminished, as I said. So right. whenever you harvest plants, you need to put soil back into the box. And I've seen several gardens in Central Florida where they never put new soil into it. And so what you have are a bunch of wooden boxes sitting on top of native soil, which really isn't suitable for growing food.
Mm.
So you know, whenever you harvest, you need to replenish the soil so the soil reaches to the top of the board, and you have 10 inches of soil then for your vegetables to grow. So if you want to grow carrots, or you want to grow turnips for roots, and you want to grow potatoes or whatever vegetable you want to grow, you need 10 inches of soil to make that happen as a minimum. And I went to a community garden just last week, and there's 38 boxes in this community garden, but there's mm-hmm. no soil in it. They're just wooden boxes on top of native soil. And we made an effort to go ahead and plant them directly in the ground, but we know that the ground is contaminated with building debris, and uh-huh. so it really isn't suitable for growing directly in the ground. So that's a good reason to go ahead and put a box in. So we put the box right. in, filled it up with good soil. That's 10 years ago. They never mm-hmm. put soil back into it, and now there's boxes just sitting on top of contaminated soil, and they wonder why they can't grow anything.
It's
because you don't have any good dirt. You got to put good dirt back in there. And so you can do a little bit at a time.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, though, I want to ask you about another method of planting that piqued my curiosity. So glad you're talking about this right now. Really appreciate it.
Good. I look forward to it.
Going to take advantage of some of that free compost too, because I wanted to know what I was getting. So this is Steve's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I'm here with Mr. Robert Bowden, who is the executive director of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. Steve's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Radio, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Friday. It is Friday in the Garden with Mr. Robert Fatton of Blue Gardens here in Central Florida. And I wanted to ask you about the use of pallets. Because I know you were just talking about the boxes, and I know in the past you have said that boxes are okay, but you don't necessarily prefer them. You kind of rather just go directly into the ground. And I know there are extenuating circumstances for using the boxes like you just talked about. But what about the use of pallets?
I really like pallets for a variety of reasons. Number one, they're easy to come by. People are usually looking for someone to take them because it's a pain in the neck to ship them back to where you got them from. So, you know, it's good to be able to help them. And you want to reuse, reduce, recycle when you can. So this is a great way to recycle. This is very, very important, though.
Okay.
The pallets come in two different categories. And every pallet you see has a stamp on it that tells you something about that pallet and where it came from. It's necessary. It's the law. But you probably never seen them or paid any attention to them. But somewhere on that pallet, on the sides, it tells you all about that pallet. What you're looking for is a pallet that has the capital letters HT, Harry Tom, on it.
Harry Tom, okay.
That means that pallet, if it came from Germany or from China, that it's been heat treated and there are no pests or diseases in that wood that can contaminate or introduce unwanted pests to our environment. A really good example of what happens when you don't do that, years and years ago, probably 20, 30 years ago now, someone in the States received a package from China, and inside the package there was wood curlings, I guess, for lack of it. It's kind of like sawdust, but anyway, it's a packing material. In that packing material, there were insects from what we call a long-horned wood borer, and their primary source of food is green ash trees, and it has decimated, has killed nearly every green ash tree in the Northeast and in the Midwest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's not good.
Okay.
So now when these pallets come into our country, they have to be either heat treated or treated with a chemical.
Okay.
If you're growing flowers, it really doesn't make any difference. But if you're growing food, you want to make sure that the stamp has HT on it. Every other pallet will have a different designation. And more often than not, it's been treated with a chemical called methyl bromide. It's a very, very effective pesticide. It comes in a gas form. So you take all these pallets and you put them in a big box and you gas them and you kill all of the diseases and all of the insects that might be in that wood. You don't want to use pallets that have been treated with methyl bromide. It's bad for you. So
yeah, I thought when you mentioned it, it sounded familiar. And I couldn't remember exactly why.
Yep. So look for the pallets that have HT stamped on them. And that's really all you need to know. If you need more information, you can go to Google, and there's lots of information. It tells you where they came from, when the pallet was made. There's certain abbreviations for certain countries. So a lot of them come from Germany, and a lot of them come from China. But make sure that it's heat treated. Now, the reason I like pallets so much is you can plant a garden anywhere, provided you get 8 hours of full sun.
Okay.
So you have a home, and your backyard's very shady. But gosh, you know, I would really like to grow some lettuce or arugula. Okay. Or maybe some small carrots, or beans even. I want to grow some green beans. And your front yard is nice and sunny, but, you know, you don't want to put a garden in your front yard. But you could take one of these wooden pallets and put it on your driveway or drop it on your sidewalk going up to your house. Just put it right on the concrete and then get a bag of potting soil about just a little under 3 cubic foot. And then you put it in that pallet, and you got to make sure you stuff it really good under those boards. And then where the spaces are, that's where you put your plants. Now, the great thing about that is that as the plants start to grow, as they get larger and larger, it prohibits the sunlight from getting to the soil and germinating any weed seeds that might be there.
So
you have a pallet that's probably 3x3 or maybe even 4x4, and you stuff that with soil. It's just it's from side to side. It's all dirt, and then you plant some bean seeds in there, and the beans come up. They're going to shade the soil so you don't get any weeds. Most of the potting soil you get is peat moss and pine bark, and it's not going to have any weed seeds in it anyway. But if after you use it a few years, you know, weed seeds might get up in there, so you, they won't germinate. So you're going to have to water this thing by hand with the hose or a watering can. But you can produce an amazing amount of food in a single wooden pallet. And it's just a matter of stuffing it with good dirt, planting the seeds in there, and then standing back. Most important thing is make sure that it gets plenty of water and make sure that it's in at least 8 hours of full sun. And so you've got this little vegetable garden or herb garden where you thought, gosh, you know, I really can't put a garden there. You can put this pallet anywhere. You can put it on a driveway, on concrete. You can drop it right on the lawn if you want. And then fill it with dirt and grow right there. You don't have to do any digging or anything whatsoever. Just drop it right on top of the grass. The grass will die underneath it. And so you don't have to worry about weeds coming up through the pallet. And it's just a super, super easy way to grow food in an urban environment. And I can tell you, we've used them for many, many years. It's all you have to do is go online, go to Google and say pallet gardens or recycle wooden pallets, and it will give you lots and lots of great ideas on how to use wooden pallets in your garden at home.
I cannot tell you how much you've just made my day, really. I mean, oh, wow, because I've been, you know, I passed by, there's a place on John Young Parkway, between OBT and Silver Star somewhere. I think it's near Shader Road. I think that's where it is. But every now and then they'll put out a sign that says free pallet. And
really?
Yeah. So, I had someone bring me a pallet recently. And the thing is, now I'm glad I spoke with you about it because now I've got to check to make sure it has HT on it.
HT. As in Tom.
Yeah, and Right. And I looked it up on online while we were talking, also the methabromide. I looked that up too while we were talking. But the fact that you don't have to worry about the weeds so much is awesome. It's really awesome. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the perfect mechanism to grow some stuff in. So I'm going to start with this one. Yeah.
It's surprisingly easy, and you sort of slap yourself in the head and wonder why you didn't think of it before now.
I know.
Really,
I'm like,
it's that easy.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm
now,
so excited.
One thing you probably need to remember is that on two sides opposite each other, there's going to be a big space. You know, it's open. So you may have to get two pallets, and you may have to cannibalize one of those and take some of the boards off, two boards, put one on either end to hold the soil in. So you may have to get two, and you take two boards off of the one and you attach mm-hmm. those to the one that you're going to keep,
mm-hmm.
That keeps the soil from falling out. But if you go online and look mm-hmm. at the pictures of these vegetable and herb gardens growing in the pallets, you'll be mm-hmm. absolutely amazed. And you can just slap those right down on the sidewalk or your driveway. Mm-hmm. You can put them anywhere you want that has 8 hours of full sun and water close by. That's the really big thing is, you know, you want to put it somewhere where you're not going to have to haul water, you know, 10
right.
miles. Yeah, it needs to be
right.
convenient or you'll forget about it and not do it.
One of the things I thought about, too, while you were talking is if you don't want to, you know, cannibalize the other pallet is maybe get some of those nice, pretty pavers that you see and maybe put the pavers on the side, each side of the pallet and kind of decorate
you
it
You could
a
do that.
Bit.
You sure could.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. See, you're
wow.
full of great ideas.
Oh, you are, too.
I am full of absolutely worthless information.
And I disagree wholeheartedly. We're going to take a quick break. We are here. It's Friday in the Garden. I'm here with Mr. Robert Boughton of Harry P. Lew Gardens in Central Florida. This is Dee's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. The number, no, you can't call today. I'll tell you about that later. But anyway, give us a call some other day when Robert's on and he'll answer your questions or just, you know.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chillin'?
Well, good afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Friday in the Garden. We're here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lew Gardens, and he was just making my day talking about using pallets for your garden to plant. I think also, Robert, it makes it look a lot, I guess, more organized, a lot more pretty,
right.
you know, pretty.
Yep.
And so that's I'm excited about that. Now.
It really is super easy. Mm-hmm. You can probably get a bag of soil to fill that pallet for under $10.
Oh,
and
great.
then you can simply go to your grocery store and get some cannelloni beans or whatever right off the bean soup aisle
mm-hmm.
and plant those in there and boom. You've got a garden going.
I can't wait. I am so excited. But now, what should we be prepping our garden for? What should we be planting at this time?
Well,
it's
despite
so hot.
It is hot, but there are some plants that you can grow that love this heat,
mm-hmm.
provided you can give them enough water. So
okay.
I'm mentally going through the vegetable garden here at Lew Gardens where we have a beautiful summer garden growing. And we have, for instance, we have broom corn growing. Now, it's technically a corn. It doesn't produce
mm-hmm.
ears of corn, but the top
okay.
of it has these straw-like tassels. And we grow it primarily to attract birds to the garden because it's the birds that eliminate any insect pests that may be in the garden. So if they happen to see a worm on a caterpillar
mm-hmm.
on one of our plants, as they're flying around, they see that guy and they say, well, we might as well just pick up a nice little meaty morsel while we're here. So that not only do they eat the seeds off this broom corn, but they also will get rid of bugs in your garden. So that's a great one that's grown right now. And everybody knows okra. Okra is
okra.
Number one right now. And, you know, a family of four probably needs 20 plants. And you harvest those every other day until you have enough. You'll probably eat okra twice a week at that rate. But they, as long as they get plenty of water, and you fertilize them every 3 to 4 weeks with some organic fertilizer, you'll have plenty of okra. You can either grill that. I was talking to a chef yesterday, and he takes little 2 to 3 inch long okra and grills it on his barbecue grill, and then we'll use olive oil and some other things with it, and it's just amazing. I like to eat it raw, you want the truth. When I'm out there in the garden and I get a little hunger pain, I'll go over to the okra and pick a little 2 or 3 inch long okra, and it tastes so green and so fresh. It is really, really tasty. And that's a great little snack out in the gardens. So we
not only do we have
Clemson spineless, which is the old southern standby, we also have a burgundy-colored okra that's very attractive as well. You can actually put it in your landscape as it has purple stems and purple leaves. It's very pretty. And then next to that,
I was thinking about the gumbo.
Oh, yeah. A little jambalaya, a little gumbo.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let me just, let me know when that's happening.
Okay.
I've never passed up a meal yet.
Okay.
And next to that, we have pigeon peas. Everybody knows about pigeon peas. We went to a fresh produce market, and they had several thousand pigeon peas in a bag, along with cranberry beans and navy beans, lots of other things. And we simply took those and dropped them into the soil, and we've got 10 or 15 pigeon peas growing. So we're looking forward to using those. Then next to that, we have sweet potatoes. And those sweet potatoes are growing like nobody's business. We planted them now. They'll grow all summer long. And then August, usually around October 1st, we will harvest them.
Okay.
And when you harvest them, they're real starchy. They're not real sweet right away. So we harvest them, and then we don't wash them. We just get all the dirt off we can. And then we put them in a cool, dark place, wherever that may be. And then for the next 45 days, that starch will change to sugar in that potato. And then what happens in mid to late November? Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Perfect timing. You have never had a pie like you've had with fresh sweet potatoes that you have grown in the garden. There's nothing in the world like it. It is so good. And
so
then
you can't
next
plant
is,
that in the palette, though.
No. Nope. Yep. And these now you can plant them in a wooden basket.
Okay.
You can go to a feed store, and they have wooden baskets. They're like $4.
Okay.
What about a milk crate?
Okay.
You can fill
that
up with. Fill that milk crate up. You may have to put newspaper on the sides, so the soil doesn't fall out. But then you just put a piece of a sweet potato in that. You fill that up to the top with good potting soil, and you put a little potato slip in there and let it grow and grow. And when October 1st rolls around, you dump it. You'll easily have 8 to 10 sweet potatoes in there.
All right.
Pretty simple.
Making me hungry, Robert. Yeah.
And next to that, Next to that, we have eggplant. Eggplant loves this hot weather. And I have about 10 plants, and I harvest about 5 eggplants every week. So at least every week or two, I'm having chicken parmesan with some eggplant, or eggplant parmesan, or ratatouille, or, you know, we grill it. It is so good getting a little bit of that char on there. So eggplants do extremely well in all this heat.
Okay.
Then, and then on the other side of the garden, in our raised beds, we have peanuts. We have peanuts growing.
Okay.
We've got about 25 plants planted up there, and they're growing quite well. That's our test bed for the wetlands soil, and they're doing quite well. And probably in another 2 months, we'll be able to harvest those peanuts and use them either as boiled peanuts or as roasted peanuts.
Mm.
And then see all this stuff you can grow, but nobody thinks you can grow anything. What about jicama? Do you know anything about jicama?
Not at all.
It's a root that's used by a lot of Spanish cultures, even in the islands. And it's a root, depending on what size, you can be size of 2 fists, or it can get even larger. But it's sort of like a potato, but it's real crunchy. But it doesn't have any flavor. So you put it in salads for that little crunchy feel. It's actually, I grew it last year for the very first time, and I found out that jicama is the root of a very special lima bean. Well, that's weird. I grew jicama seeds, and they're a lima bean. The important thing to remember is that the root is what you eat, and the leaves and the beans are poisonous. Mm-hmm. So don't eat the leaves, don't eat the beans, eat the root. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then in the next bed, I'm growing some elephant ears. It's called yautía in the Spanish cultures. Yautía and yautía lila, which is a purple form. Mm. And people in the islands and the tropics, these are elephant ears, special elephant ears that you can get at, I got mine from Fancy Produce here in Central Florida, and planted them in the ground. And what happens over time is it's a root of an elephant ear, and you dig up the roots and you peel it like you do a potato, and you chop it up like a potato, and then you eat it like a potato. But they grow it in gardens in the tropics, and it's a really easy thing to grow, but it's sort of a staple in many of the poorer countries. And then last but not least, I'm growing something called boniato. It's B-O-N-I-A-T-O. And it's a type, it's sort of a cross between a yam and a sweet potato. And it's used basically the same way that sweet potatoes are used. Or you can mash it and use it like mashed potatoes. But I think you'll agree there's lots of things growing in the garden in the summertime.
That sounds like good. Like I said, you're making me hungry. It sounds like it. And, you know, I mean, you get a lot of these vegetables, and you can just try different herbs and spices with them and you know, create your own dishes, you know. So.
You know, and the reason I like I like growing all these different things because it introduces you to different cultures.
Right.
You know, I'm from the Midwest, and you know, my family is from Germany and Ireland and England. But it's so wonderful when I'm working out in the gardens and they see boniato, or they see pigeon peas, or they see these elephant ears growing, they get all excited because they usually don't see those kinds of things growing in public vegetable gardens. And so they're so willing to give information about how these plants are used and how the different recipes. And I learned so much from our guests as they talked to me about how they use all these different plants. What a great way. It's a wonderful way to break the ice and start conversations and meet new people and new cultures. It is wonderful. And so we're having a lot of fun this year. We're growing things that we've never grown before.
Wow. That sounds marvelous.
It is. It's fun.
We got to take a quick break. But before we go, I wanted to ask you, I did get a question from someone about weed and seeds. Wanted to ask you a little bit of, I know we're shifting gears a little bit, but wanted to ask you about the pros and cons of using weed and seeds. It's because they're convenient, I guess, but I heard basically it's kind of almost counterproductive in a way. Can you talk a little bit about them?
You want to talk about that now or after the break?
No, we can talk about it now before we go.
Okay. All right. So weed and feed, I guess for lack of a better term, it's sort of a lazy man's way to garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because weed and feed, it has what we call a pre-emergent herbicide in it, and it also carries some fertilizer in it. And you'll see these a lot used with roses and in flower beds.
Right.
I definitely would not ever use that in a food garden because that pre-emergent herbicide is not an inorganic. It's not an organic chemical. And so you wouldn't, one of the reasons we grow our food is to make sure that it's safe for your family to eat. And I wouldn't eat any vegetables that have had a pre-emergent applied to it. Okay. But having said that, if you go ahead and you plant marigolds or petunias or whatever it is you're growing flowers in a flower bed, and all you do is pull weeds, spurges, and it's not good for nutgrass. Nutgrass is going to come up whether you use a pre-emergent or not. And that can be a real pain in the neck. I'm battling that right now in my flower beds. The more you pull, the more sprouts you get and the more you have to pull. So it's just a nightmare. But the idea is that you're fertilizing, which is going to obviously help your marigolds and your other plants. And it also creates this thin film on top of the soil. And it's chemically initiated, and it prevents weed seeds from germinating. They can't get through that chemical shield, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it fertilizes, and it prevents weed seeds from germinating. If you have a very small area and you just get tired of weeding and a little weed and feed would work for you, that's fine. But it's really not meant to be used in larger areas because you're going to need a lot. And you just have to assume that the fertilizer that's in there with that pre-emergent is the right fertilizer for what you want to put it on. It's a basic, common fertilizer, and that may not be what your plants need. They may need something a little different. So roses, for instance, they can, one of my favorite fertilizers is this 888 rose fertilizer with minor nutrients in it that's created by Sunnyland right here in Sanford, Florida. It is a fertilizer that's available in the box stores in your nurseries. And, an application of a small amount of that every month watered in is going to give you amazing roses. You don't find that 888 fertilizer with micronutrients associated with pre-emergent herbicides. So that you're not going to find that in a pre-emergent or in a weed and feed. you're going to get some kind of fertilizer and some kind of pre-emergent and hope that it works. But it's really utilized by people who don't like to garden too much, I think.
Okay. And I'm assuming that the same thing applies to lawns in general, too. You just would rather have a separate weed prevention and then a different fertilizer.
Right. Right. There is some fertilizers that contain insecticides.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. So you don't have to go over your whole lawn twice, once with a fertilizer and one with an insecticide. Here in Central Florida, it's highly recommended that you apply a pre-emergent herbicide to your lawn in mid to late February. And that will lessen, if not eliminate, crabgrass seeds from germinating. And we all know what a pain in that crabgrass can be, especially in a nice lawn. It's very difficult to get rid of it once it's germinated and starts to grow. So the obvious answer then would be to prevent it from sprouting and prevent it from getting started in your lawn to start with. So use a pre-emergent herbicide on your turf and make sure you read label directions, because not all pre-emergent herbicides can be used on all the different kinds of grasses that we grow here. But the whole object is, again, to create that chemical shield that will prevent weed seeds, including crabgrass, from sprouting in your turf.
Okay. Going to take an extremely quick break. When we come back, we're going to tell you what else is going on in the gardens. This is Friday in the Garden with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens. This is the Power Hour of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Here with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. And your movie night is coming up on the 2nd of August, right?
The first Friday of every month is movie night. And, of course, if you're a member of the Gardens, you get to see that movie for free. Otherwise, it's $6 for adults, and you can bring lawn chairs and blankets and secure your space, have a little picnic right there in the gardens, and then stroll the gardens. You can do that for the $6, and then go back to your spot and enjoy a nice movie. So that's always a lot of fun.
He's right. Secure that spot first. Secure
depending,
the spot first, then you go browse in the garden.
That's right, because when you get back, there won't be a spot for you. So
that's right.
You gotta keep that in mind. And of course, we have lots of really interesting classes and workshops. If you simply go to Eventbrite/Lou Gardens, there's a whole list of things that we've got going on. We have 27 live events on Eventbrite. Tomorrow, we have a class on edible landscaping. So here's all these great things that you can grow in your garden that are really attractive, but you can eat them too. So be the first in your neighborhood today to eat your yard. If you're interested installing or thinking about some low volume irrigation with all this heat that we've had, you know, we've had those sprinklers going, but boy, it wastes an amazing amount of water. Gretchen, I don't know if you know this, but if you have one of those impulse-like sprinklers in your garden and you water during the day between 10 and 4, 50% of the water that comes out of that sprinkler head evaporates before it even touches the ground.
Wow.
And many people in Florida use city water or potable water that's been treated, and you get charged for that. Half of that money is just disappearing. So if you're at all interested in considering what we call low-volume integration, you know, the dribbles and the small sprays that are really very, very good for your plants, we're having that class on July 20th. So lots of stuff going on, lots of children's classes too.
We appreciate it, Robert. Thanks so much for being with us today. And thank you all for listening. This has been Dee's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a blessed weekend, everyone. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Your mouth. Come on. You gotta say something.